this is my 4 o'clock Mountain Time Zoom that I do. And today we have a special guest. This is being recorded, by the way. Robert Oblon, the founder of our company and CEO, is here with us. And I was having a conversation with him. Before I start on that, if you guys can, I don't want to have any interruptions. If you have a question, you can put it in the chat box. We'll look at it, and then we'll read the questions if there is any. But back to the other day, I was talking with Robert and explaining some of my thoughts about the compensation plan, and he made some interesting statements that to me just seemed I certainly couldn't share them. And the more and more I thought, I actually spent the whole weekend thinking about what Robert said, and every single point that he made is true. Now, I didn't like about half the points he made. I really didn't, because I've been in 3 network marketing companies, and I, you know, self-taught, so to speak, but I didn't understand really what it is we're trying to do. And as I talked with Robert, he was able to take point by point and explain to me the reasoning why the compensation plan is the way it is. And we're not going to get too much into the compensation plan tonight. What I want to talk about is the reasonings behind it. And what's so powerful is he made a comment the other day when I was had a list of things to talk to him about. And he said, we have to hold the line because we're trying to change the industry. And so if there's something uncomfortable you find in the compensation plan, it's because it's something you shouldn't be doing. You should be doing what is in the compensation plan to change the way the system works, the way network marketing works. And so I wanted to first introduce Robert Oblon, and our founder and CEO, and then have him share some of those thoughts. You have the floor, Robert.
Okay, thanks, Doug. And yes, Doug had a valor attempt at his viewpoint, and I believe that was because of a Zoom maybe you guys had last week. And so let me just say, and it's very common, I am constantly beating the drum of direct selling, which is very different than network marketing. And that's the basis of what we're doing. And really, just to correct a little bit of what Doug said, really it's not about compensation at all. The compensation plan is just sort of the guideline of how you go out and can earn an income through selling products and earning commissions, and in some cases, if you qualify, benefit from overrides from the team. We'll get to that, but there's a lot of things that are, from a vernacular standpoint, a little bit backwards. And when I say that, I mean, and I don't mean this with any condescension, that's the word I'm looking for. And I say this very humbly, but a lot of people have come from, in Doug's case, he's been in a couple of companies, but not for a very long period of time. In other words, let's use Dave Johnson as a, you know, 4-decade plus veteran of direct selling, of what direct selling used to be in the 70s and early 80s, before it was really network marketing, or worse, multi-level marketing, right? So if you've come into this profession over the last less than 20 years, really since the turn of the century, and you didn't know any better. And if you came into a company that was less than 20 years old, 15 years old, 10 years old or less, more often than not, you might have found yourself in a company that was really just a network marketing company or an MLM company with a significant departure from direct selling. So, and I'll explain, but at the end of the day, what we are trying to do isn't change the profession. I think if I could be so bold as to say, MLM is dead. For a lot of reasons. Direct selling is alive and well. Home-based entrepreneurism in what is now called the gig economy and side gigs is very alive. The difference is the gig economy now is no longer just direct selling, where it used to be just direct selling. I mean, in the 70s and 80s and even most of the 90s, the only thing you could do as a quote unquote side gig, as we call it today, you didn't call it that back then, was direct selling. Today, your competition is Uber and Amazon and Airbnb, and there's a whole lot of quote unquote side gigs that we're competing with. So when I have conversations with people about network marketing and network marketing compensation plans, the reason some of the things are uncomfortable or different is A, people come from too often, more often than not, from a network marketing company that taught a certain behavior, and really aren't versed yet in what the new gig economy is. And the new gig economy is really straightforward, simple. And the example I like to use is Uber. Right? Uber is really stupid simple, right? You have a car, you download an app, and you drive people around and you get paid. That's how simple this side gig is. The average Uber driver makes about a little over an extra $700 a month. If they're driving a lot, they're making more than that. Yes, but, you know, our target demographic has been for decades in direct selling. You know, the quote unquote side gig has always been $500 to $1,000. So that's why our competition is Uber and Lyft and, you know, all these opportunities that are not network marketing companies. They're not complicated with compensation plans and recruiting people and selling products. That's a little bit more complicated, right? But we are like the ultimate gig because what Uber and Lyft and Airbnb and all these other side gigs don't have is that they don't have residual income, right? That makes us sort of superior from the gig. So I wanted to clear the air on that. And by the way, I have redesigned the compensation plan document just this past weekend. I'm probably going to take over tomorrow night's Tuesday training that Laura normally does. And part of the motivation with all the things going on is just a little more clarity on dotting the I's and crossing the T's and really the qualifications and what people need to do in order to maximize this comp plan. But let's just go, you know, back to the beginning, and that is the difference between direct selling and network marketing. Some of you have probably been in direct selling companies from back in the day. You know, a lot of people have been in Amway and Herbalife. And, you know, if you're old enough, Dave, you know, you were in companies when, you know, in the 70s where you were the delivery guy, right? There was no UPS and FedEx. There wasn't smartphones. There wasn't the internet. There wasn't websites to sell your products, right? When direct selling was truly direct selling, when direct selling was wholesale to retail, you bought it at wholesale, you went to your friend's house and you sold it at retail and you made the difference. That's what direct selling is. So that's a really important element to understand for a plethora of reasons. Number one, that's the basis and essence of this compensation plan is really about direct selling. And what is direct selling? Direct selling is literally verbatim what that those two words are. You're directly selling products. Network marketing has complicated the whole game with this multi-level aspect, right? And I was actually born in 1979 when Amway actually was the first company that came out with a multi-level plan. And then in the early 80s, Herbalife's the one that really maximized the plan. Herbalife took off like a rocket ship and became the behemoth it is today because it was, you know, kind of at the forefront of marrying the two things together. True direct selling when in a day and age where you still didn't have smartphones and internet and all that stuff. But the compensation modifications where, you know, network marketing from a plan perspective was born. And then MLM really got ugly, and, you know, if we're being honest, again, around the turn of the century, and I can track this, I've had debates for years over why network marketing, MLM, is so taboo. Like, you guys know this, when you walk down the street or you sit down with someone and you're talking to someone that's not in our profession and you say MLM, what do they say? I'm looking at your faces and shaking your heads. They say pyramid scheme, Ponzi, right? All the negative connotations, because here's the reality. I used to say it's not true. But now I can tell you unequivocally it's true. Why? Because there's a lot of pyramid Ponzi schemes in network marketing. But let me tell you my version of how and why that is. And I'm telling you, no one has been able to debate me from the standpoint of why this isn't true. So what happened is, around the beginning years, the turn of the century, you could build a website, right? There was really no websites in the 90s. I was building travel websites in the mid-90s. That's my background, is travel. And then I launched what became the largest travel network marketing company in the world in 2005. And so that's how I know this sort of chain of events over this last 15 or 16 years, and that is former network marketers could build a website, slap a label on a product, and say they're in pre-launch, and then there's this sort of misnomer, it's a fallacy, that only the people in the beginning make all the money. That's not true. But shiny objects and other things have led to former network marketers creating network marketing companies. And I'm here to tell you, former network marketers are the last people that should own and operate network marketing companies. And I'll tell you why. Because this is how the binary compensation plan was actually born, because former network marketers decided instead of going and building a downline, they go out and build their own downline beneath them in their own company. That's how binary is born. If you look at any binary, I don't care who it is, I don't care what the company is, I can promise you that the owner of the top position in the binary is the owner of the company. And usually the right and left and a couple positions on both sides. There's a massive amount of manipulation in network marketing today by the owners. So this is how over the last 20 years, network marketing has gotten to a place owners are in the downline. So the number one problem we have is the owners are in the downline and they're manipulating the genealogy to their benefit. They're doing BDAs in the form of, you know, deals, business development agreements. They're screwing people six ways a Sunday. They're kicking you out when you don't abide by their rules. Many of you have been in this profession long enough have experienced exactly what I'm talking about. So I became an advocate of, when I launched my last company, because I was not a network marketer. When I launched my travel business, I partnered with a couple of network marketers, and that's how I learned a lot of this stuff. And so I decided that I was going to build a company where the owner wasn't in the downline, and we weren't going to do any deals and BDAs, and we certainly weren't going to manipulate the genealogy. And when I learned by making those statements to the direct selling world at large, I had two things happen. Number one, the people who thought they knew the profession said we could never pull it off. If you don't do deals, if you don't, you know, figure out how to be in the downline, you'll be out of business. You'll never succeed. And the second thing that happened is the overwhelming number of people that would sit in front of me at my desk, more often than not men, crying emotionally about their story of what happened to them by the owner of their former company. Like, I couldn't believe the chord that we struck when we said we're not going to do deals. We don't manipulate the genealogy. No one could believe it. And that company became the fastest growing company in the world in 2018 without a single deal, without a single, you know, manipulation. So why am I sharing that part of the story with you? Because some of the things I'm telling you, if not all the things, I've already proven concept on. I've already studied and understood the difference between recruiting and customer acquisition. And that's really important for you to understand if you're going to understand this compensation plan. That's why I'm sort of giving you this prelude, right? So let's talk about those two things, recruiting and customer acquisition. And anybody that's been in this profession over this, in any, almost any company in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, more often than not, for the most part, especially if they're newer companies, people are taught to recruit. So just so you guys understand the difference, right? Recruiting is when you're selling the business opportunity, when you're talking about the comp plan and the money, when you're pointing over at so-and-so that says, hey, look, this guy came in and in 4 months they're making X amount of dollars and this comp plan is this and that. Every single time I talk to someone that's in network marketing and the first question they ask is, what's the comp plan? Then I know that's what they were taught, right? If that's what people ask you, if you're talking to people that you're so-called recruiting that are looking for a business opportunity, and their question is, what's the comp plan is the first question, then that's one of the biggest clues that from where they're coming from or what they're taught. And so recruiting is based on the money in the comp plan. Customer acquisition is obvious, right? Customer acquisition is actually true direct selling. It's when you have products that you personally sell. You find customers, customer acquisition. That's what this plan was built for, acquiring customers. And it's a lot easier in business from a customer acquisition standpoint to recruit customers, to acquire customers when you have world-class products, when you have products that actually change people's lives, when you have stories. You know, you guys are all in direct selling. You know and have heard facts tell, stories sell, right? Well, why is that? That's because when people have real testimonials, real results, that's the natural thing that we do as humans is that we share. We talk about it. Hey, I took this product and, you know, I lost 20 pounds, or I took this product and whatever the result is. That's how you actually build in a direct selling company. That's how, by the way, direct selling legacy companies, you know, the Herbalife, Amways, Mary Kay's, Avon's of the world, who are multi-billion-dollar companies today and still multi-billion-dollar companies, built the foundation of their companies selling products directly in direct selling. They shared their results and testimonials as how they grew. Okay, so I studied a lot of this. I'm 20 years in the business now, and one of the things I saw a study or a report. It was 6 or 7 years ago, and it was either Amway or Avon or Mary Kay, one of the two cosmetic companies. And there was this report that really opened my eyes, and it said 44% of the distributors started as customers. And I was like, whoa. Because I grew up I got taught wrong. When I started my travel company, I was a travel guy. I wasn't a network marketer. And so I got taught by my partners who were former network marketers, and they were manipulating the genealogy. They were the top of the food chain. I mean, I was the co-founder and president of that company. My job for the first 5 years was putting out all the fires that were created by the massive manipulation of the genealogy. So I speak from experience. I'm not just pointing at people and saying, this is the problem. I like lived it, right? When I left that company, I really wanted to find a better way. And I had all this knowledge and experience of what not to do. And I learned, again, the hard way that recruiting leads to high attrition. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to finish my point about Avon and Mary Kay, whichever one it was, that had 44% of its distributors started as customers. I thought, and the reason, if it's not obvious why that should be a big deal, let me explain why it's a huge clue. You're talking about a company that at the time, and they're still doing close to this, was doing 8 or 10 billion in annual revenues, and almost half of their distributors started as customers. Just think about that. At the time, it was the number two or three company in the world doing, again, almost double-digit billions in annual revenues, and almost half of their distributors started as customers. So I really took that and ran with, okay, what does that really mean? So I also had this experience, again, coming from my previous company, about attrition. I learned that was probably singular, and as of right now today in network marketing, the single greatest problem we have is attrition. You guys all know what attrition is, right? That means, you know, what's shrinking out the back door while you're trying to keep up with it in the front door of sales, right? In my travel company, we operated at 80 to 100% attrition a month. I mean, if it wasn't for the training revenues that company grew into, it really, you know, it was a travel company, it really turned into a training company. They started doing that, you know, after I left and they went international, they were filling arenas. And so the training revenues is the only reason that company stayed alive. It's gone now, but it's the only reason they lasted 14 years or whatever it was, because of the training revenues. The compensation plan revenues, impossible. We were almost out of business during my tenure, because the comp plan was so broken, 50-50 binary, and we were at 80 to 100% attrition a month. And I used to have the debates with my partners at the time, and I said, if we just figured out how to cut attrition in half, if we just had 40% attrition, we'd be double the size of the company. It's just math, right? So I'm sharing this with you because attrition is the one thing from a business standpoint that we – which means you have to figure out how to prevent. Attrition prevention is everything in your business. Remember, you're in business for yourself. I'm not your boss. You don't work for me. I provide a product and opportunity and websites and tools, but you still have to go do the work. So let's talk about the difference between recruiting based on money and customer acquisition, and why it, which one is greater from an attrition prevention standpoint. This is critical. When you lead, which was what most people do in these other companies, when you lead with the money in the comp plan, what happens is you're setting the tone. You're saying, when you say, hey, if you get two who get two who get two, you can drive this car, live in this house, and then you'll be happy, right? In other words, you're saying, if you go do this work, then you'll make this money, right? And the problem with that is most people, unfortunately, in this profession don't make that money. And so what do? When they don't achieve what the expectation that was set through the recruiting process, what do they do when they don't make the money?
They quit.
They quit. So that's attrition. So attrition prevention is everything. So what's the opposite of that? Customer acquisition. So what does that really mean? That means when you lead with the product, and by the way, it takes longer to grow a direct selling organization through customer acquisition. But when you lead with the product, especially when you have products that are life-changing, and they have a positive result, life-changing, right? That happens first. And then you drip on them, or then they decide they want to be a reseller. And then they want to do the business. If they go down that pathway and the business doesn't work out for them for whatever reason, they may stop building the business, but they won't stop taking the product. Does that make sense? That's attrition prevention, because in the comp plan, in any comp plan, but especially ours, the volume is the sale of the products. So if your customer becomes a reseller and he or she just stays a customer after some period of time and they stay on the product, the volume is still the same. Does that make sense? So your retention is much greater when you lead with the product first. Now, I say you're recruiting, you're just going through a certain order, right? In other words, you're recruiting someone for business, but you're leading with, you're starting the conversation with the product or the result of the product and then leading down the path, okay? So if you understand all that, which I know you do, then you have to understand how this comp plan is built to fuel and incentivize. I call it incentivized behavior. It's not, you know, I try and be as non-MLM as possible, right? You know, everyone says compensation plan. I say incentivized behavior, because that's really what's happening here. How can I incentivize you in the behavior of selling products? Right? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to incentivize you to be a direct seller. Right? I'm trying to incentivize you to sell products. I'm trying to incentivize you to help you help yourself make money. So the vast majority of the comp plan, in fact, the first four items, in the comp plan, and again, I'm going to go over this, I guess, tomorrow night in more detail, but the first four items, okay, the first thing is obviously 25% retail commission, right? So 25% of whatever they buy, whether it's retail or smart chip or, subscribe and save now, 25% of whatever they buy, that's number one. And then something that no other network marketing or direct selling company does is, because I'm so in tune with everything I just said about attrition prevention. Another way to say that is retention, right? The number two item in the comp plan is a retention bonus, meaning you make more the second, third, and fourth month and beyond on that customer because they stay, right? So I'm incentivizing the behavior for you to have a relationship with your customer, you to make sure that the customer is taking care of getting the products and learning more about your other products. So you might lead with one product and they don't know about the others or whatever, right? But at the end of the day, every month that they stay, we pay you more. That's the retention bonus. You make up to between 8 and 9% more over the 25%. So by the fourth month, you're making on average about 33 or 34%, not 25%. Okay. Why? Again, I'm incentivizing the behavior of you selling products and keeping customers, right? The good news is these products sell themselves and people stay on them, right? You don't have to do much. Okay. So number three. New customer bonuses. I'm trying to incentivize behavior of people continuing to bring new customers month after month after month. That's what this business is. It's direct selling. So every month you should be bringing more customers. So new customer bonus is, you know, you get paid an additional increase on those new customers for that month for the first three, and then the next three, and then the next four, and then 10 and beyond. So I think there's four sections. So by the time you get to your 10th customer or your 11th customer for the month, you're at an extra 20% on the 25% you would make on that first month. Now, of course, that means you got to have every month 10 or 11 or more new customers. But that's supposed to be why you're here. And then finally, as if that wasn't enough, I don't know if you guys who have, you know, you've been doing this for a little while. This is very lucrative from a customer acquisition standpoint in direct selling. For you to make 33 or 34 to 45% on new customers every month is a big deal. And why is that a big deal? Because we're a dollar to point ratio. There's comp plans out there that talk about, oh, we pay 35, 40. I've seen comp plans even say they pay 50%. But when you look at the PV or the BV, whatever they call it, the business volume, they're at 70% or 80%. So it's sort of I hate to say a lie, but it's, right? They're sort of not being straight that they're not paying 50% of what you sell. They're paying 50% of the volume. There's a big difference. Okay. We're at a dollar to point ratio. So when I say 33 or 34%, that's 34% of whatever that they bought the product at. That's huge. Okay. Then the X10 bonus. As you know, our flagship is the Triad. Happy Tides, BioMyX, Happy Humo. This isn't a one and done kind of thing. This is a gut health company that has revolutionary technology, not even counting Immune, Pure, and soon to be Earth, and hopefully soon the Zeolite. But we're a gut health company and we bundle these products, right? $139 for the bundle of three. It's not just Triad and three flavors. We have other bundles, as you know. Okay, but I'm incentivizing the behavior of selling our flagship, which is Triad. So the X10 bonus pays $200 for every month that you have 10 $139 customers. But when you understand the value and the outcome of the Triad, and you understand that 95% of the U.S. population has leaky gut syndrome, which means basically every single person you come in contact with needs our product. That's why we have you send people to everybodyneedsthis.com, right? Because your target demographic is everyone. And by the way, that's another differentiator between us and a lot of other product companies is the demographic isn't always everybody. If you're a coffee company, your demographic is maybe half of the U.S. population, as big as the coffee market is. You're not selling coffee to kids. Our products, you know, newborns could take nucleotides, you know, as an example. So you have a target demographic of everybody. Everybody you're in a 2-foot or 10-foot radius of, you know, if you don't have business cards, you should have business cards. You should have some way of touching everybody, right? If you're really acquiring customers, if you're really direct selling, okay? So I'm incentivizing the behavior of a $200 bonus for every 10 Triads or $139 bundles. So let's just analyze that for a second. Let me digress to, I'm assuming you guys all know this, but this is very important for you to understand the opportunity that exists portion. So even though I'm saying don't go recruit on one hand, on the other hand, you're still recruiting customers with the intent that there's an opportunity because you live in a day and age right now where there's never been a better time for opportunity than right now if you follow what's going on out there in the world. Okay. But really let's talk about the financial aspect or the income demographics of the U.S. population. This is pre the last couple of years. This is 2016-ish. If you guys know what a dual household income is, that means, you know, two people earning a check, right? 80% of the U.S. dual household income was 60,000 or less. It was 58 or 59,000, right? Two checks in one house, less than $60,000 a year. Okay. So that's why your target demographic is, looking for people that want to make an extra $500 to $1,000. Because if you really extrapolate that out, one household, let's just take a single mom with a couple kids who at best is making $24,000 to $28,000 a month pre-taxes. What does that mean? She's right. That give or take, she's probably bringing home, $1,200 to $1,400 a month. Single mom with a couple kids. This is a large percentage of the U.S. population she's looking for a side gig. She's looking for a way to supplement her income, right? And among other things. So why does that matter in the context of that opportunity for that type of person, which is many of the people in your organization? And why does the X10 bonus matter here? Because if someone took the time and did the work, you can take that all the way up to 100 customers. And it's my belief that if someone did the work and they found 10 customers a month on a triad or bundle with these products, and let's say it took someone a year to gain 100 customers, which we already have people that have more than 100 customers in the company. But let's just look at what that really means from an opportunity perspective. 100 customers just with the commission they would make on $139, which is $34.75, not counting the retention increase, $34.75 plus a $200 bonus for every 10. So that by the time you have just 100 customers, you could make $60,000 a year residual. The math is simple, right? It's $34.75 if you have $3,475 commission if you have 100 customers, and then it's $2,000 a month. So it's $5,400, give or take, $5,400 a month. If someone went out and did the work, no matter how long it took to get 100 customers. And why is this so relevant and important? Because I still have not recruited a single person in this equation. I'm just talking about someone who's going to be a direct seller and sell products. And that is going to take these products that you can't get anywhere else, that are changing people's lives, and if they really went out and concentrated on the direct selling portion of the business, acquiring customers, the sky's the limit. Okay? So that's part one. Part one is this comp plan incentivizes the behavior of direct selling, making money, earning commissions, selling products. Now, if that's duplicating, and only if it's duplicating to some extent. In other words, the only way you as a business owner who wants to earn overrides and bonuses in a team environment, the number one thing that has to happen is we have to acquire customers. What's broken in network marketing? Right? We talked about one of the aspects. Owners in the downline, manipulating the genealogy, they're teaching recruiting, which is high attrition. Okay? Well, when you analyze the other aspect of these companies, which I have done and I have lived, they don't have a customer to rep ratio for the most part because they're not concentrating on customers. What does that mean? That means the volume of business is only coming from the distributors. Personal consumption. So they're at customer to rep ratios 1-to-1. We're already at 3-to-1 in less than a year. And in another year, we'll be beyond 10-to-1, which is almost unheard of in direct selling. To have a 10-to-1 customer to rep ratio. That's what you want in your business. I'm saying you personally. You should have 10 customers in your sleep with these products. So I want to overemphasize the comp plan from the standpoint of part two, overrides and bonuses are relevant to your people that you've personally enrolled that are also VIP resellers. They have to find customers. They have to create volume driven basis so that you who are the one who brought them into the business can of how this is supposed to work, right? You brought someone in who brought someone in who brought someone in and started with you. You should have an override from that. But there's a requirement, and the requirement is it can't just be a bunch of people that are only consuming the products and not finding customers. That's not scalable. And that's why, by the way, you see so many network marketing companies come and go, because they're recruiting for the money. Their 1-to-1 customer to rep ratio, which means the only people buying the products are the people in the comp plan or the distributors trying to make money. Does that make sense? They're in the business for the comp plan. They're buying the product. And then there's another level to this where the recruiting is go buy a pack, go spend $1,000, and then they're making money selling packs. We call that in direct selling garage qualifying. You know how many people I know in this profession that have to this day cases of products in the garage from the 5 different companies they were in? Dave, you got any products in your garage? No? Good.
Can I interject right there?
Yes, sir.
So this is the exact point that I had talked to Robert when I said, you know, I'm not a great salesman going out and selling door to door or talking to people. My talent is in leading a group of people. So, in the past company I was in, I helped other people convince their people to try the products and join the company. And as I talked to Robert about that just the other day, that he said, okay, how many people are on your Zoom? Because I hold 4 Zooms like this a week. And I said about 16 to 25 or so, 16, 24, I think is what I said. And he said, and how many new people do you have on your Zooms? And I said, 1, 2, 3, maybe, you know. And he says, are any of those yours? And I said, no. He says, then why do you expect them to have people on your Zoom if you're not bringing anybody your own Zoom? And so that's where it hit me, is I'm teaching, I'm in a supervisory position month 3, because I'm thinking, well, that's where I need to be. And I have 16 to 20 people on my Zoom are also in a supervisory position at whatever level they are. And so we're all supervisors and there's no workers. There's nobody inviting people. And that was the point that you made, is until you start setting an expectation to bring people to the product and invite and get new customers, that how do you teach others to do anything but that?
If we could be really blunt, the first part of what you said is very relevant, and that is the company you came from where you were taught this sort of what I call management mode, right? You were taught to recruit, and what you were taught to do is sell packs, which is what I just referred to, right? Yeah. You recruited people to come in and spend $1,000 on, you know, all these, whatever the, you know, bottles were of that pack, right? And that was the churn. right? Recruit people for $1,000 and then help people recruit people for $1,000 and help people recruit people for $1,000.
That's right. Right?
That's broken. Six ways a Sunday. Number one, there's no auto ship opportunity going on. You just bought 10 or 15 bottles of the product. Number two, there's no one acquiring customers. And number three, high attrition. All the things we talked about. Okay, so, but the reason I'm bringing that up and just to edify the conversation we had, to your point, is what I'm saying to Doug and what I'm saying to anybody is what's duplication, what's duplicatable, right? And whatever you do is what you're teaching people to do. So if you want people to be customer acquirers, then you should acquire some customers. It wasn't even so much how many new people do you have on a Zoom for the opportunity, it's how many new customers do you have? Because if you're not getting customers, why is anybody else going to get customers? And then this thing doesn't work. Then we're just another MLM. And that's not what I'm interested in. And I'm telling you, that's not how we're going to get to where we're going if we're just another MLM recruiting. So, again, getting back to how it relates to the compensation plan is when you understand that that has to be the foundation. True direct selling. And by the way, Doug, when we talked about this too, that doesn't mean you have to go knock on doors. That doesn't mean, you know, you have to go be a direct seller and talk to everybody you know. A lot of people, most people are, you know, what is that saying? You know, people are, they have a fear of death fear of speaking more than death, right? People are scared to talk to people. That's why we teach. Just share your story. Just share your testimonial. You don't have to sell anything except your result. So, for example, what I told Doug is, you don't have to sell anything. When's the last time you went on a Facebook and talked about your experience, your result from the product? That's by the way, that's the new age direct selling. Social networking. You don't have to go knock on doors, right? You should talk to everybody you know. If you're in a restaurant, you should see my wife. She recruits every waiter and waitress. Like, I can't even do it. But, you know, it's like you could be. Every single person you come in contact with is an opportunity for you to change their life from a health perspective. Get it out of your head that you're trying to sell anything. If you really care about what you're doing and why you're doing it, then you're trying to get this revolutionary technology into as many humans as possible, and all you're trying to do is share that. If you're really acquiring customers, you're never selling anything. That's why, Doug, you can be a direct seller. Because and by the way, your story the day we met almost had me in tears. You've been through some stuff. And the outcome of that product and that story, anybody you talk to about that product, talking about the Zeolite, I bet you sold them. The only problem was you recruited them in with packs, right? That was the only problem. But my point is, facts tell, stories sell. Every infomercial you see, if you bought something from an infomercial, 99% of the time you bought it because of the result of the testimonial. I use this blender. Forget the facts of the blender, but by blending your food, you lost 20 pounds and that person, right? That's why you bought the blender. The result.
Right.
So anybody, I don't care who they are, can share the result of our products and get people interested. It's called attraction marketing or curiosity marketing. That's what we do online. We post a picture of the before and after, and they say, hey, I'm, you know, 20% off last weekend. You know, inbox me if you want to learn more. It's really actually easy if you concentrate on that too. So what I also told Doug is, because he asked me point blank, and I appreciate, you know, the ask, is that he said that, you know, doing these Zooms and helping these people, am I doing it wrong? I said, no, actually, that's the character of leadership. It's just that you also have to do this too, right? You have to direct sell. You have to sell products. You have to have customers. You can't just get on Zooms and have everybody on Zooms. And then if all you guys are just on Zooms and it feels like you're working, it feels like you're participating, feels like it. But if you're not actually selling any products, you're not in business. And remember, you're in business for yourself and home. The business is not us hanging out on Zooms. This is us helping each other help ourselves. My job is to help you help yourself. This comp plan is incentivizing your behavior. Does that make sense? So all of this is for you, but you have to go do the work. And in a direct selling company, and I'm not just talking about my company, I'm talking about any company. If you're going to succeed, you have to sell products. And actually, the comp plan doesn't even matter unless you bring a volume of people that also sell products. Then, in actuality, the comp plan doesn't matter. If you bring the volume, the comp plan becomes irrelevant because you could win in any comp plan. So, that being said, let's continue down the path of part two, which is overrides and bonuses, okay? I made a mistake at the beginning of this year, and I built this lifestyle bonus opportunity because I was trying to help people that were leaving my former company. They all were walking away from big checks, and I was trying to put them in a position to earn or replace those checks faster, because I don't do deals. I don't, you know, bridge anybody into the business. And the only way that I could help you is make the comp plan so rich that if you do the work, you can replace your check faster. And the reason I say I made a mistake is I made it too rich. I overpaid about $4 million in this year, 2021, right? That's behind us. But the lifestyle bonus is intended to be really that for what the truly it's tailored for people that have done the work, have the customers, have built the team, and are now in a position to really do like Doug, you know, was saying, like there will come a time and place where you are helping more people help themselves than you are acquiring customers. It's not in an infant state, though. So for people to come in a month or two and try and qualify for the lifestyle bonus, it's just the wrong thought process. It's the wrong behavior, okay? I'm starting there on part two so I can back into it, okay? So we have a unique attribute of our compensation plan of how we do calculations, which is called the network community bonus, right? And that simply is an accrual every day based on your team, people that you personally enroll that go out and not are also personally enrolling people. Remember, there's a difference between the recruiting path and the customer acquisition path. The intent is that you are first and foremost selling products, making money, selling products, acquiring customers. And number two, when you bring someone into your organization to work with you in your home-based business, that they're going to duplicate that they're going to go out and sell products. And then when they sell products, you should get an override from their product sales, which is different then you're getting an override on their personal consumption. See the difference? So when you build a team of people, like you guys are a team, I don't know what the genealogy and hierarchy of everybody here, but I'm going to venture to guess that along with Kyle and Doug and Dave and Neil, you know, there's this trinary, right? and all of you are within this team and organization. Well, if there's not a lot of customer acquisition going on, then there shouldn't be a lot of overrides and bonuses paid if everyone's just recruiting people and expecting to win because they're buying some products for their personal consumption. That's broken MLM. So in the compensation plan with the network community bonus, there's only one nuance that is challenging in the beginning, and I compensate for this, by the way. You know, when you come into the business, you're allowed to use 100% of your volume your first calendar month, which means if you come in any day after the first, you've got that month and the next month. I'm saying you keep all of it to qualify to your next rank. In exchange for that, the calculation of the network community bonus only grows as your network grows. And so when you bring in customers or people, you should, over the course of the first few months, you should know the comp plan and understand that when you bring them in, you should try and bring them in earlier in the month. It's okay if it's the middle or the end of the month. But know that this comp plan isn't meant for people to win big, so to speak, on overrides and bonuses the first couple months. This is not a get rich quick kind of, you know, MLM company. This is it, a lot of you don't haven't been with me that long, but I'm a broken record about I always ask people for a couple things, but one of the most important things is I need your commitment for 24 months, 2 years. If anybody thinks they're going to come in here and win big in 2 months or 3 months or 4 months, it's just not reality. I need a 2-year commitment. I need you to set goals. I need to know where you're going to go in 6 months or 12 months, not 2 months. And understand the foundation of the comp plan is if you go out and do the work and follow all this stuff that we're talking about, and you look back in 2 years, if you did the work, just think about the X10 bonus alone, like I said. If you spent a couple years and you got 10 customers a month, you could be making $100,000, $150,000 a month residual just on that piece, not counting any override or bonus. This comp plan is literally the richest comp plan in the profession. If you understand the foundation of what we're doing from a direct selling perspective, if you're just recruiting people in and worried about what the lifestyle bonus qualifier is going to be by next month or the month after, it's just the wrong behavior is all I'm saying. Okay. So there's a couple of qualifiers that are really more asks in their minimum when you really analyze the ask. So let's talk about the first one, which is the first, you know, relevant one I'd say is Ruby. Okay. At Ruby, your residual income should be around $4,400 a month, because at Ruby, you have a lifestyle bonus of $2,000 and at on average about $40 a day, right? So that's $2,400 ish. So $4,400 at Ruby. So what's the requirement? The requirement as Ruby is you should have 5 customers. Well, in my opinion, you should have 5 customers before you're at Pearl. Realistically, right? Because the customer requirement is only 50 points. I'm not even saying you need 5 customers at $139. I'm saying 5 customers that buy one thing. So 5 customers. I'm asking that you are on the triad. You should be a product of the product. So that means I'm saying, and this is only to earn overrides. You do not have to be on a $139 order to make money on the front half, on customer acquisition, just one product. You're a qualified VIP is 50 points. That's it. You want to earn an override, I'm asking them to be at $139, which is, again, nothing, right? So, again, going back to Ruby, it's just 5 customers, and then At Ruby, you should, if you have, now you should have a team, and if that team QAP is 20,000, then the ask is a minimum of three people you've personally enrolled at JL3. That's it. And what the reason I say that's it, let's look at what JL3 is. It's only 1,500 points. Well, what's 1,500 points divided by a triad?
11.
It's 11 triads. So again, if it took you 2 or 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, I don't know a lot of places in business that you can spend 6 months with a minimum qualifiers of three people that are there. By the way, 11 triads on the team, Doug, not 11 triads by yourself.
Right.
Right.
Under them. Yeah.
Under them. It's really nothing.
It can be one leg only.
And to earn more, almost as much as a dual household income, 80% of the U.S. population. It's pretty big. Okay, so let's talk about Emerald. Emerald, 50,000. Let's not talk about how long it might take to get to Emerald, but if at Emerald, at $100 a day, that's lifestyle bonus at Emerald is 3,000. So that's 6,000, not counting your personal sales if you were doing the work. So it's $6,000 or $7,000 a month residual at Emerald. And what's the requirement? Two more customers, seven. a whopping seven personal customers and, three personally enrolled VIPs at Pearl L2. Well, what's a Pearl L2? It's only 3,000. So those three people that qualified you to Ruby have only doubled the volume on their team for 3,000 points. That's it. So the last piece is the lifestyle bonus qualification. And why this is important for you to understand is that the lifestyle bonus is really a double pay, meaning it's basically based on your network community bonus volume, right? So we know and we can track, and this is how we defined and came up with the formula of a requirement, is we could tell if someone's enrolling personals just to qualify, but their personals aren't going out and actually doing the work, if they're not building a business, then their NCB is lower and their 25% check match is lower because their personally enrolled person, wherever they might be, hasn't done the work. But yet someone that they brought in later on down the line might be creating the volume. But that shouldn't mean, because you personally enrolled this person, but not this person. This person's doing the volume. You need your person to qualify you. So that's why and how the NCB formula of, if you're going to earn the lifestyle bonus, then your NCB should be about 50% of that qualified bonus. And that was the barometer. That's the difference. If your personals aren't really working and they're benefiting from other people doing the work, then the NCB tended to be 20 or 30 or 40%. Those people that had worker bees that were helping their people that they personally enrolled build, their NCB usually was 100% or more of the lifestyle bonus. And what did that translate to? That really told us that if you're getting that lifestyle bonus, especially at the higher ranks, that means you're really helping people help themselves and they're doing the work. So you're entitled to that lifestyle bonus. If you're not doing the work and you're just on the calls and they're not really doing the work and they're on the calls, then it's broken if we're paying it. That's why we overpaid, to be honest with you, right? So on top of that, we're saying, listen, we don't want you to not earn a bonus if you didn't reach that 50%. So what we said is if you don't qualify for the full bonus, we'll just pay you two times whatever your MCB is. So let's say your bonus is 2,000 at Ruby and your MCB is only 800, right? You didn't get to 50% of the 2,000. Then we're going to double your 800 and pay you 1,600. So you picked up an extra $800 on your way there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's as fair as we possibly could be while we're simply asking for these sort of minimum qualifiers. And again, this is for overrides and bonuses. And if you're not duplicatable from the standpoint of direct selling, if everybody's not acquiring customers and selling products, then the rest of the overrides and the bonuses don't add up, right? The comp plan is so rich on the front end that I can't fuel the back end on just one-to-one customer to rep ratios if everybody's just consuming products and not bringing customers, right? So that's the high level. There's a few more nuances to the plan. The 25% check match is underrated. This is your, you want to talk about incentivized behavior? Go enroll 5 or 6 or 7 people and have all of them rank to Pearl or Emerald or Diamond. You're going to make 25% of their network community bonus check. This is where people are going to start making a lot of money as they grow, is actually the 25% check match, but only if those people you personally enrolled have teams that are growing. And this is why, you know, again, we're not getting into detailed compensation plan program conversation, but this is why taprooting is so relevant. This is why a trinary is so powerful, because you're placing people underneath other people to burn that fire up to help these people you personally enrolled so that you can earn the 25% check match. I'm telling you, it's underrated, the 25% check match. It's the most lucrative comp plan in this profession, bar none. If and only if we have enough people selling products to customers, not recruiting bodies.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I'm absolutely so happy that you came on the Zoom today. Couple quick questions. If somebody is, let's say I have 3 or 4 people that I've personally sponsored that are just not doing anything, then my next step would be put 2 or 3, 4 people underneath them and generate volume in that, because they're already in the position. They're not doing anything.
Sorry.
Volume underneath them. I mean, sign up people.
That's Doug, unfortunately, what we call MLM welfare.
Not volume. I misspoke. Look for new people to sign up who are interested in building on their own underneath those people. That's what I meant to say.
And I'm saying that's MLM welfare. Here's why.
Okay.
If you have someone that's not building the business, you don't want to build their business for them by placing someone that wants to build. That's creating welfare for them. The whole point of the holding tank and the whole point of taprooting is so that you can say to that person, hey, you haven't done much. I want to help you. What's stopping you? How can I help you? And if that person is going to go to work, find customers, and build a business, then and only then should you reward them with someone that's going to help them in from a volume perspective. Otherwise, you have to go find the other people that are hungry, that want this business, that are acquiring customers. Then you go to that person and you say, listen, I want to reward you. I've got more for you. How can I help you? If you do what you said, Doug, you're actually doing the reverse. You're harming them. Because remember what I told you about what's duplicatable, right? If you take someone that's doing nothing and you give them someone, you're teaching them that's how they build.
Right.
So that's what Laura calls MLM welfare. You want to find people that want to help themselves, that are hungry. And it's not everybody. That's why you hear me say, some will, some won't, so what, next. I don't mean to be, you know, mean or, you know, condescending about it. I'm just saying, I'm sorting. I'm looking for people that want to win, that want, how can I help you help yourself? I can't hold your hand to do it for you. There's a big difference. And when you understand that, then that's when you have conversations with people that is, listen, what can I do? I can help you. I've got someone that's hungry and wants to come in, but I need you to do this first.
So I have a right leg that's not real active, needs volume. I sponsor my people in that leg somewhere underneath somebody who is actively building that fills the volume for that leg for me. And just keep sponsoring people there until I find somebody that wants to work.
Yes, but I would say I'd be more interested in you knowing who those people are that are existing in your business. Or, I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about a leg that you're not the only person that put people there.
Right? Yeah, leg that has.
So we want to understand, all of us want to understand, if someone's there and they're really not doing anything, but they're taking the product, maybe they need to be reclassified as a customer. I'd rather have you be a customer of the product than a reseller sitting there.
Is there a way for somebody to go back to being a customer and not a VIP?
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
Put a ticket in and say, I want to downgrade to a customer.
Excellent. Can we also do that for somebody who signed up but never bought any volume and is currently a fifth or a sixth leg?
Anyone came in, you know, there's a lot of people that, here's another misnomer in network marketing, that there's some benefit to being a distributor from a product price perspective than just being a customer. So a lot of people were taught to just come in and, in this case, amplify, when they should have just been one of your customers.
Right.
And again, if you're really just focused on customer acquisition, bring them in as a customer first, and then when they really decide they want to do this, then they can upgrade to be a reseller. And then you get to place them. Here's the benefit of the way this, of the technological aspect. This is really cool. You bring someone in as a customer first. Even though you're recruiting them, you're still starting them as a customer because they got to prove themselves to you. A couple months later, they've been on the product. Now they've got a result from the product, and they say, hey, Doug, I want to work the business now. Well, 2 months went by, and you started building. Well, they lost their opportunity to have a position in the beginning. That's okay. But now the moment they upgrade to become a reseller because of the holding tank, you now have 2 weeks to say, okay, let me go talk to my other people here. So-and-so just upgraded. They're all excited. They got all these results from the product. Now they want to be a distributor. Where am I going to place them? It's a really powerful attribute of the holding tank.
Yeah.
You're looking for hungry people. I don't know how else to say it. Movers and shakers.
Do the work. Yeah.
Yeah. And if they don't, it's okay. It's okay. But in some cases, if they're really not doing anything, maybe they should just be customers.
Okay, a couple more questions. Cassandra Witt says she has 17 new customers waiting on Zeolite. Do we have any word on getting the Zeolite?
No.
Okay. Soon?
I mean,
can we say soon?
I don't know what soon means. I'm ready. I've been ready.
Right.
But they're just dealing with legal contracts still, and as of today, I haven't gotten a go-ahead.
Okay, but for sure, January
1. For sure, January 1. But let's talk about what Cassandra said, okay? If you have customers not doing anything or not joining because they're waiting for a product, I'm confused. Because I understand the value of a Zeolite, but I also understand the value of and knowing that 95% of the U.S. population has leaky gut syndrome, and I have products that can change their life right now. I don't know why someone wouldn't come in and be a customer of our existing products. Number one, if they're distributors or resellers and they're waiting for a product, that's even worse. Because we're never going to, by the way, this Zeolite is revolutionary, but we're never going to be a Zeolite company. We're a gut health company. A heavy metal detox is going to help our overall cause and basis. But the last thing you remember, it's all about duplication. So if you have people sitting waiting for the Zeolite, that means they're going to come in when the Zeolite shows up, and then they're going to leave with the Zeolite, which is not who we are. Now, it's not to say you can't, you know, because you got a benefit. But Doug, you yourself had extraordinary benefit from the Zeolite, but you've also had extraordinary benefit from the products we have today.
That's right.
So anyway, it's only Monday. As of Friday, I got some updated information that looked very favorable about the Zeolite. So I could say soon. I just don't have a date.
Okay. And then Michael Hensley, I don't know where he's at. He had a question, but that's basically all the questions. We're well over our time, 20 minutes. I appreciate your time. I'll be having some more Zooms this week. Tonight you're on, correct, at 8 o'clock?
And
do you have another Zoom tonight?
I don't know.
Okay. So tomorrow night you'll be doing the...
Tomorrow night is Tuesday trainings, and I don't know what Laura's agenda is because she has an agenda, but I might take it over to do an update on the detailed new... there's a whole new comp plan document, so... If I don't do it tomorrow night, I'll do it by the weekend.
Can you send me your new comp plan document when you have time so I can start presenting, answering questions to our group?
Not until I officially roll it out.
Tomorrow. Again, thank you. I appreciate the most important things you said to me the other day was I've got to hold the line to make these changes. And I understood that very well, that we push up against you and push up against you and want to make it easier for us. But when you stop and when I stop and I think of what do I want long term? Do I want something that's solid that nobody can take and break? That is all tied to customers. The reason these other companies are falling apart so quickly and entire groups leave is because they're not tied to a product. They're not tied to something that everybody can bind to. And that's one of the things I love about like our Pure 47, the gut health. We can, as we start to love these products and share them with others, it binds us to an opportunity that has the residual nature that we want. And so I spent a lot of time over the weekend, kicking around exactly what you talked about and getting my mindset straightened out. A few people on chat have said, you know, it's really helped them get their mindset correct. So that was my goal tonight, was to get everybody to understand the mindset that will help help them make money. If you have another mindset, you just won't be as successful financially in this.
It's not that you won't. It'll just take you longer. But here, the two words that matter the most is attrition prevention. Everything is about attrition prevention in what we do and how we're building, you know, the landscape of why we're doing what we're doing, how we're doing what we're doing. And the essence of this comp plan is incentivizing you to lead with customers. And if you do that long term, which is what, and hopefully, you're here for, like, I don't know about you, but I never want to do this again.
Right.
So I'm trying to build a foundation so I never have to do this again. And so that means it's a long-term play. This is not a short-term. There's no exit strategy. And if you feel the same, then I like to say I'm not in a rush to do it wrong. Right? So let's build the foundation and understand the foundation starts with customers, because that's how you prevent attrition. And if you have a high retention because you prevented attrition, then when you did invest that year or two, you're not losing everybody out the back door because you brought in a bunch of networkers. No offense to networkers. But I'm looking for, you know, the greatest thing you could have is someone that has never done network marketing, that comes in, that gets a result, and then throws up on everybody their results. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
It takes a little longer, but it's the greatest path to long-term success for your home-based business.
Excellent. And everybody on here should be studying the compensation plan. There's no excuses for you not to know it. And
I got the new plan. I'm going to do a voiceover. So by the weekend, I'll have a video in the back office so you can hear me going over each slide. You know, we have a lot of stuff coming that, we've been growing so fast and so many things going on. It's just been hard to do everything, but that's coming.
Thank you.
Can I throw in something?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Well, first off, Doug and I had a lot of fun this last year and, we helped a lot of people, but, it was classic network marketing. I made just a couple of sales retail was accidentally, it really wasn't a provision in the plan at all. And so, it was typically 99% of the product is consumed internally and we followed faithfully the 11th commandment, thou shalt not pay retail. And but I love this because this is a whole new layer of really decent income, and it's so much easier to get a conversation going with product anyway. So this is real powerful stuff. And then just one other thought. I was just really enamored with CJ Mertz and Dr. Naputi. Last week, I think it was Tuesday, they had a special opportunity meeting for healthcare professionals. Is that recorded? Because I would love to have that in my library that I could send to somebody. That was very compelling.
Well, yes. And if you're in the Success Coach Facebook group. So that link is in there.
Okay.
But that seminar that you're talking about from Tuesday night is geared towards practitioners or people that own businesses as part of the B2B2C. So yes, it's available. Yes, it's in that group, but it's intended for people that are success coaches to send to potential partners. So that's in there. I'll make sure you have it. But yeah, it's been recorded. It's got its own funnel page website now. It's pretty cool.
Thanks for all you do.
Sure.
Thank you, Robert. Well, we're going to go ahead and end. Like I said, we're way long, hour and a half. But thank you again, Robert, for coming on the Zoom. And if we have any other questions, we'll get them to you. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Blessings. Loved it. Recording.